claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. And, you know, in order to be a superhuman, you know that we talk about this on the show all the time. You must be able to train hard. You have to train hard your entire life. And I don't care what kind of disease state you suffer from, you will always fare better if you are training hard in the gym. And quite often we get derailed because of injuries. And when you look around, the most popular injury today is a shoulder injury. And so we've got Dr. Peter Rouse all the way from New Zealand. It's like 5 a.m. there. How you doing, Pete?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Carl?
Wonderful. So this is the first time Peter and I have actually been able to see each other while we're doing a show. We're going to talk about shoulder problems. Would you agree with me that shoulder problems are probably the most common problems that anyone who lifts and trains hard suffers from?
I'd say second to probably lower back, but it's probably pretty close together with the lower back problems.
You know, I didn't really think about the lower back. You're probably right about that. I really didn't give that a lot of thought. But everybody I know, including myself, suffers from shoulder problems. Now, those of you who are listening to the show on the Superhuman Radio Network, you're only hearing the audio, but the other folks that are watching the show on Facebook Live, you can post your questions, and we will get around and get Dr. Rouse to answer as many questions as we possibly can. So we don't start out with shoulder problems, but we develop them over time. What's the most common reason that you think that people injure their shoulders?
One of the main one I find is the postural distortion that causing the underlying cause of the actual problem. So rather than, you know, an acute injury where they've done something that's actually an impact or something like that, it's actually going to be more of a, over the time, postural distortion occurs, causing faulty mechanics in the shoulder, therefore causing irritation and other injuries associated with that.
So do you really think that posture is because interestingly enough, Andrew Scarborough, who lives in the UK and is watching the show today as well, posted a question that we'll get around to in a little while. But he claims that from his recent shoulder injury, he notices something different in his posture. Is it the chicken and the egg? Does the posture give way to the shoulder injury, or does the shoulder injury feed into postural changes?
Both. So what happens is because he has it, I've got to make it complex.
Yeah.
Because of the shoulder injury itself causes pain, anytime there's a pain, the body's going to compensate around that. So that's going to cause distortion of the posture. However, initially when you're training with either poor form or poor posture, that's going to be the underlying cause behind that, over, you know, other things, like I mentioned before, like impact injuries and stuff, you're not going to happen so much with weight training. Maybe impact sports, if people are doing impact sports, there's a chance of being an impact injury from that. But with the postural distortion, it's more about that symmetry, the balance, the structural balance between posterior and anterior, you know, on all angles of the body here, particularly with the shoulder, because the shoulder is such a complex joint. It's a very shallow joint. Instead of being a ball and socket, imagine a ball and socket, it's more like a cup and saucer because mm-hmm. that shallow joint.
Right.
And it, that structure to hold it and create that vacuum in there basically to stabilize its shoulder. And that's why it's more susceptible to injury, especially with the smallest change in postural distortion. In saying that, I mean, it's not all from the shoulder with postural distortion. You can have postural distortion from the hip, and
really?
That causes the problem of the shoulder.
So, we've talked about this before on the show, but it starts really at your feet, right? It starts the way you stand.
Yeah.
It's where your hips are and where your shoulders are. So, with that being said, should people be doing rotator cuff warm-ups type stuff, and stretching and so on before they start to bench heavy? Or does that, because I know that you've taken some different positions about stretching. Does stretching promote shoulder injury, or do you think it could help protect against shoulder injury?
Protect, and it's a little more to it than just saying, you know, stretch and then train. Because first off, a lot of the research that shows that stretching before training, you know, weakens or shuts you down, it shuts down the muscle. What actually is happening is, yeah, it shuts down the muscle, but what are you stretching? You're stretching, you want to stretch muscles that are facilitated. So that's the whole point of stretching. There's muscles that are facilitated causing disruption in the balance of the shoulder. Stretch them, shut them down temporarily. But then, do you go onto a bench press and start benching your first heavy work set? No, you warm up, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
You warm up. As you warm up, you reactivate that neurological activity in the muscles, and you cancel out any of that effect from the stretching that created the shutdown of those muscles. But what happens when you turn it back on, you're turning it back on basically as a in its normal sequence and order.
Interesting. And so, what about the rotator cuff work itself? So I see a lot of people. I remember the shoulder horn. Remember the shoulder horn, and then you see people just taking bands and doing inner and outer kind of light work. Is that really going to produce less laxity and greater protection of the rotator cuffs by warming them up first before you get into heavy benching?
Way I see people do it, probably not. Actually, if anything, it probably causes more harm.
Really?
In saying that, though, the control exercises that we do, which is kind of, I think you've spoken to Ian King about these maybe before in the past, these control exercises that we may use are basically more about getting control and stability back in the joint rather than trying to, per se, warm up the muscles. So we may use no weight for some of these exercises. You know, you've got your stand. I'm doing a demonstration for those who are watching on video here. You're doing, for example, rotation through here. What we want to do here is the movement as we go through external rotation is you want to create that movement without actually moving the shoulder. So I'm coming up. You can see how slow I'm doing it. I'm taking 5-6 seconds to come through full range. As soon as I feel that shoulder start to move and compensate, I start to move in and I come back down again. Mm. So what we're trying to do is just reestablish control in there. It doesn't have to be many reps either, you know, 10, 20 reps, one set. And it's just reestablish position and control of all the muscles in there, particularly, you know, we're talking about the rotator cuff, which we'll get to. But the point is to do these exercises with control rather than just trying to, you know, pump them out with a band or even with a loading. And you can do loading on these exercises with a weight or a cable system, but you need to really start with no weight just to get that control. Most people don't have that control.
Okay, so now what about the idea that imbalances occur, right? People who bench heavy but they don't pull heavy. The shoulder actually rolls forward in the joint, and this becomes eventually an impingement and other problems. Should people who have shoulder problems in the front heads of their shoulders be paying more attention to what goes on in the back of their shoulders by making them stronger?
Yeah, you need that, as we talked about before, that structural balance. But remember, the latissimus dorsi actually also pulls the shoulder forward. So with the lats, you've got to be careful about the lat attachment there where it pulls and rolls that shoulder forward. So doing more back work here, you want to balance that out, doing all work on those major muscles that, you know, particularly the rhomboid area is very weak in the trapezius and the entire trapezius musculature as well. But it's, again, it's about flexibility, mobility, that kind of work as well, and then creating that structural balance in there, using those exercises like the control drills to start with, and then also looking at your overall training program and making sure you have balance in that program. So if you are someone who's heavily bench-dominated in your training for the past 5-6 years, back it off a little bit, just enough to maintain your bench. Work a little bit more on the back work, so your volume on your back work maybe double what you're doing on your chest work, particularly on the horizontal pulling movements, which is your rowing movements. But you may need to kind of have an assessment or even assess yourself and kind of see where you are weak on that posterior chain and what you need to do with that.
So when you do back work, it's more about focused activation than it is about how much weight you move. And what I mean by that is the scapula plays a very important role in stabilizing the shoulder joint. And so just rowing away, you know, ad infinitum isn't the answer. You really, I remember you told me, imagine you're squeezing a pencil between your shoulder blades when you get back there. Isn't that more important than how much weight you're rowing?
Yeah, most people kind of overdo the weight before they actually have the control on the form. So with the back, especially the fact that you can't see it, people don't really think about it as much when they're squeezing. You know, they want to see the chest and the mirrors or whatever. So when you're doing the rowing movement, no matter what it is, dumbbell, cable systems, whatever, the rowing pattern itself, you need to focus on the end movement and actually focus on controlling the scapula of both sides. So your left and right needs to be stabilized evenly. A lot of people might dominate more one arm than the other. That's why some of the one arm exercises, single arm exercises are superior for that.
Interesting. What about when we talk about the shoulder, we have three heads of the shoulder. Should they each be treated the same, or are we looking at focusing more on one head over the other? I guess that depends. When they take x-rays of the shoulder, how do they take x-rays of the shoulder? Is it just arms at side, that's it?
Well, it depends on what the injury might be at the time, but usually they would take it at the side, or depending on the injury, they may have it elevated on a resting pad, depending on what you're doing, or even sometimes lying down so it's unloaded. But that depends on the type of injury they're looking at. With the, you're talking about the, you know, the three heads, well, we aren't, it's a little bit more to it than that. I mean, you've got your whole deltoid musculature, which is the one that people see on the outside.
Right.
But then everything that's going on the inside and all those muscles that attach to it, that stabilize that, that's what we've got to look at. So, when you're assessing your structural balance, you know, most people posteriorly are weaker. I mean, that's general kind of consensus anyway. Most people don't do enough work on that posterior stability compared to, you know, overdominance in the anterior being, you know, as you say before, mm-hmm. the bench press being dominant. So when you're doing your work, you want to work with, you know, probably more kind of a dominance towards doing posterior kind of work over your anterior work, so not dominating too much on the anterior shoulder capsule itself.
Right.
But in saying that too, there's a lot of exercises that people think are bad, which I saw on Facebook some people ask some questions about some exercises, which actually can be actually very effective at the beginning stages too. But the point is that, you know, the exercises themselves, it's more about the control rather than what exercise you're doing too.
So and that's where the whole bodybuilding style, to me, rehab and or prehab favors the bodybuilding style of training. And when I mean bodybuilding, I mean real bodybuilders, you know, John Meadows and guys that you watch their training. And we talk about, people say, oh, you know, I'm doing things full range of motion, but full range of motion plus complete activation of all of the participating muscles. When you look at bodybuilders, they're not throwing heavy weight around, but they are moving the weight that they are throwing completely, and they activate the entire muscular complex of what they're shooting for. I kind of think of them, you know, the higher reps, but with real focus, feeling that, like, very few people activate the center of their back when they're rowing. It's all upper traps, and it's all lower lats, and they never, and you see these people, you see them right away, because when they stand straight, their back actually curves in up by the neck because they have no musculature up in that area.
Yep, and kind of to add to that one more is the postural position that you're in when you're doing these exercises. So, you know, you're doing an overhead press. A big difference is when you're doing your overhead press is the position of your shoulder. If you're still kind of like slumped over doing your shoulder press, that's going to create further issues with your shoulders.
Right.
So you want to make sure that you're in correct postural alignment before you're doing those couple of exercises.
We're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break. Those of you who are listening to the show live, you can post questions on our Facebook Live feed. Those of you who are listening to this after it's already aired and you're listening to the recording of it, and you want to reach out to Dr. Peter Rouse, the website is integratedperformancesystems.com. Not only can you reach out there, it's an amazing resource of videos.
That's Institute.
What's that?
Institute.
I must have the wrong website. IntegratedPerformanceInstitute.com. But yep. can't they get to institute.com from systems.com?
Kind of. It's an indirect way of doing it.
Okay, so there you go. We'll get that changed. IntegratedPerformanceInstitute.com. And you can reach out to Peter there, and you can also watch videos and lots of other cool stuff. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side. Feel free to ask questions on the Facebook feed, and we will.
Alaskans agree that Sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice Sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing. So our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Discover the faster way of getting real results with BodybuildingSupplements.com. BodybuildingSupplements.com has powerful, proven solutions like patent technology, Cre Alkaline Supreme, Mass Pro Synthogen, and Adaptogen N.
RVD here. I love Adaptogen N. Give it a try. You'll see.
Buy Adaptogen N at BodybuildingSupplements.com. See remarkable results in 21 days or your money back. BodybuildingSupplements.com. Since 1993, the trusted source for real results.
Use promo code SUPERHUMAN and get an extra 15% off your Adaptogen N today at BodybuildingSupplements.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820. 800-616-0820.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're getting Monday off to a great start. Everybody loves to train. Nobody wants to take off. And injuries are a sure stumbling block for most of us. Oh, I forgot to hide that. We're talking with Dr. Peter Rouse, kind enough to be on the air with me live all the way from New Zealand, where it is now probably about 20 minutes after 5 a.m. in the morning there. And you look quite chipper. The cat is huge. What's the cat? Do you call the cat Kitty, but the cat has a name, right?
Yes, Kitty Cat. I'm grabbing for you right now. Here's Kitty Cat here.
Man, Peter, how much does that cat weigh?
About 20 pounds.
Is that heavy for a cat? I don't know. I've never been a cat person.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty big. He's the biggest one around here anyway. He takes on the dogs around here.
Beautiful, beautiful cat. Okay, so obviously prehab is the best thing to do. But what about rehab? What about once you've injured your shoulder? Now, let me give you an example. In April of last year, I was out in California and training very, very hard while I was there visiting Quest Nutrition. And I was doing a machine pec deck. And I was doing the entire stack. I'm not saying this to show off. I want you to know where I was. And my right shoulder literally came out midway up as I was moving through the movement. I had done numerous sets already. My right shoulder literally kind of led and popped out. And I let go of it immediately and it popped right back in. But ever since then, if I do overhead work, like pulley pull downs or even pull ups, my shoulder has to pop back in when I'm stretched. And every now and then it'll pop out and it'll stop me from doing the exercise because I don't want to further injure it. What could I do for something like that? How can I rehab that?
Well, that's one of the disadvantages of using machine training is that the machine stabilizes everything. So what happens is your prime movers become stronger, but the stabilizers involved in the movement become weaker or don't become as strong as the prime movers. So you create that structural imbalance in there. So it doesn't mean you can't use machines. It means you've got to make sure you do stuff to balance that strength deficit out. So now that you've caused injury, now you've got to go back and look at, okay, what's the underlying, you know, issue here? What's causing this pain? What's causing this dysfunction? And one of the things that I kind of find a common place with all shoulder injuries is that thoracic spine and the thoracic spine mobility, because that lack of mobility in the thoracic spine is going to cause your shoulder to overcompensate for that mobility issue with the thoracic spine. So that's one thing you want to get back into, you know, normal function. With the thoracic spine, you were talking earlier about people kind of hunched over, which we call hypokarthotic, which is that kind of increased curve through
right,
the spine.
Right.
But not everybody has that. Some people are flat, so they're actually too flat too. So we need to go both ways and look at that. The other issue is rotation in that thoracic spine. And that's where it's more common, is being able to rotate from the thoracic spine. And most people can't rotate properly from that thoracic. Hence, we were talking earlier about lower back being pretty common because of that too, because if they can't rotate from the thoracic, they have to rotate from the lumbar, which is not designed to rotate more than 13 degrees. So, you know, we want to return that mobility back into that thoracic spine. So one of the things you can do is assess, first off, are you flat or do you have increased curvature? Because you don't want to do, you see a lot of people doing the kind of extension work over the thoracic work with two little tennis balls taped together.
Right.
You don't want, if you've got a flat thoracic spine, you do not want to do that. That's actually the opposite of what you want to do. So you've got to be careful about that one. But with rotation, everybody needs to do a little bit more rotation work. So doing the rotation work is probably going to be vital for getting mobility back into your shoulder, starting at the thoracic spine. So, you know, mobility work is just getting this rotation, as people can, might be able to see on the video here, the rotation is going to be starting with exercises where you're sitting, maybe arms crossing your shoulders, ball between your knees, trying to rotate with your hands behind your neck, rotate, and then side bend to one side, and trying to open up that thoracic spine is a kind of a simple exercise to do. When I say ball, I mean talking one of those little medicine balls or something between your knees. So you want to squeeze that because you want to stabilize the pelvis and hip. So you're actually rotating from the thoracic and not from the lumbar. And there's a whole series of exercises you can go through to open up that thoracic spine, but really focus on mobility in that thoracic spine, and then that will allow you to address the shoulder better, and all the exercises in your shoulder you're doing is going to be a lot easier. So now if you're in pain in your shoulder, then you need to be careful not to do anything that actually creates that pain further. So what can you do at the moment? Okay, you're saying overhead work painful, but you're doing, you know, your traditional rotator cuff type work?
No, I'm not doing, that's part of my problem. I'm not doing any of that sort of stuff. I just get into the gym and I train, and I'm not doing any, my first set of every movement basically is my warm up. I use a fairly light weight. I do a very, very controlled movement, and I do 20 to 25. I try to get blood into the muscle. I try to lubricate the joints. But this is something different. This shoulder, when it's extended all the way up and I have to pull it down, it pops sometimes in and out in here. And, I mean, it stops me from training because I'm not fatigued. It's not like I'm at failure, but I don't want to do harm to this shoulder any further. And I'm trying to figure out, is it possible to eliminate the laxity with some sort of movement, exercise, or training? You think I can, or do you think that things are stretched in there and that's going to be it for now?
No, you can. What you can look at maybe is restabilizing those supporting muscles. You know, anterior serratus. You know, everybody knows anterior serratus here, which, you know, if you see on bodybuilders posing, the kind of fingers coming across on the rib cage there.
Right.
That's probably fairly important in your case specifically, to train and to get that, strong. A lot of people do the push-up plus, you know, the push-up plus exercise where you're doing a push-up, but then you kind of push it a little bit further to create that extension in the...
Yes. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, don't do that one.
Don't do
why? Okay. No. What, basically you're going to do a similar movement, but you're going to be on your back using a dumbbell or a kettlebell and pushing a weight up, doing it like this way up here. So you actually, there's a difference, is the push-up's going to be closed chain. Well, you're going to be doing it straight up.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just facilitating that movement. So you really, your arm is fully extended and locked out. You're doing everything with the pectoral complex, the front head of the shoulder, and the lat is following and stabilizing as well.
Well, its primary move is going to be the pec minor and the serratus anterior.
Right.
They're going to kick in and stabilize, which you're correct in saying that. Okay, so the difference is open chain and closed chain. With the upper body, most of our stabilization for the shoulder comes in what we call open chain. When you're doing a push-up plus, which you call push-up plus, is actually in a closed chain. So you're actually training it kinetically differently to how it's actually meant to function.
Right.
So using a kettlebell on the ground, I actually kind of have a kind of a step we go through to stabilize. We can go onto a bench where the shoulder's hanging off the bench, so we get more range of motion on that one shoulder. And then even doing a standing cable system, so you can do the same thing with a standing cable system. So that's one way you can start training that anterior serratus musculature to help with stabilizing the shoulder. You know, a lot of people are doing these band pull-aparts behind the neck and stuff like that, which is going to be okay, but you may want to kind of do more posterior cable work, you know, going into reverse fly type movement, very light cable work, working into the posterior aspect of the shoulder. Your traditional rotator cuff type exercises are okay for that, but you know, there was a question about using bands. I wouldn't use bands because of that change in strength curve for the shoulder. You want to use a low load with a cable system or using gravity with a dumbbell maybe, because that's going to give you the closest thing to the cable, but the band is going to be a greater curve, resistance curve is going to be almost the opposite of what you really want. So when you're doing your shoulder work, with the cables, one thing you do want to focus on is that form and technique I've mentioned earlier when we do the control drills.
Right.
Don't try to load it up and do heavier as you can. It's not about loading up.
Right.
Now, in saying that, what you've got to think about now is what's the function of the rotator cuff? Is it to create movement or is it to stabilize the shoulder?
I would think it's to stabilize the shoulder.
Exactly. So why are we doing movement? Now, we may need to do movement initially to reestablish that musculature. Why are we doing movement to train the rotator cuff?
Interesting.
Okay.
Right.
So the rotator cuff has created that capsule pressure in that capsule. So, yeah, we may need to do it to reestablish some balance there. But a lot of the exercises we want to do may not actually involve so much standard external rotation, internal rotation, etc. What we may need to focus on is exercises like using the kettlebell again, like I was saying before, lying on your back with the kettlebell above your chest, and then rolling your shoulder over, rolling your body over, and stabilizing and keep that capsule pressure in that shoulder there as you're rotating over to your side of your body.
That is very interesting, and I could see how that could train. Because now you're talking about training the shoulder complex dynamically as it normally would move through normal movements. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and we do a lot of kind of, it's hard to kind of get this across on audio, but all these exercises that we do involve that kind of same thing. We were creating that capsule stabilization as we're going through dynamic movement to reestablish stability in the shoulder.
Very, very interesting. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about, I think it was Oscar Jonas Oscar who posted on our Facebook wall, but he's not, I don't think he's listening to the show live right now, about doing upright rows and whether or not that's a good idea if, in fact, you are somebody who has shoulder problems. We're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Superhuman Radio.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoCana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of ketone Keto Canine. Hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Canine banner ad today.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today. Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Big sight. New. Hank. Hook up.
Welcome back. Talking all the way from New Zealand with Dr. Peter Rouse and his five cats. Pete, you have five cats?
Five cats, all one family.
Wow.
Mother, father, and three kids.
That's amazing. That really is amazing. So Oscar Jonas Oscar asked the question about upright rows, and you said that it is actually one of what you consider the category of most dangerous exercises for shoulder problems. Is that right?
Let me clarify that. It's not dangerous in the sense of how we do it, but how you see most people doing it in the gym, yes, it is. It's one of the dangerous ones.
Okay, so what are the mistakes? What? How are people doing it wrong? Give me some tips here.
Okay, so first off, do not attempt these exercises. I'll talk about a couple of exercises, but don't do these exercises unless you have pretty much ideal posture, what we're looking for, and then using proper form. Now, with the upright row, people on video can see this. You know, a lot of people upright row up to the neck and back down again. So they're doing upright row with a barbell or a cable system, and they're bringing it all the way up to the neck. What we're doing is we do a modified upright row, which is we're using dumbbells for one, and we only bring the dumbbells to nipple height. You can see the difference here with my shoulder. If you're watching on video, when I bring it up, I'm bringing it up to nipple height. I'm kind of lift up a little bit here, but you can see the action of the shoulder. I'm not going to get into an infringement angle here where I come up with my elbows up high like a normal upright row with a barbell, which restricts your movement. Then you're going to get into that angle, which is going to create infringement. So just up to nipple height with dumbbell. And the trick to it is to lean forward about 5 degrees from the hip. So you're almost like just initiating a deadlift type movement as you're doing it. So you're slightly angled forward.
Why is that angle so critical?
So that keeps the angulation there changes that mechanics on the shoulder here. So when you're back up here and you come pulling straight back up, you're capturing that atrium there, that bone structure here. You can potentially catch that depending on the person's structure. Now, bone structure is a little different in the shoulder.
No, but I can feel it. It's much more restrictive if I keep my arms exactly at my side and I come up. I almost feel like I hit a stop. But if I lean forward a little bit, there's a lot more range all of a sudden.
Yeah, you just have to lean 5 degrees forward. And also, what happens there is you're going to get a little bit more involvement in that posterior capsule stabilization as well. So you're going to get a little bit more involvement with that capsule, and the posterior aspect of what we were talking earlier is kind of important for most people. So just from a couple of modifications, not bringing up above the nipple height, using a dumbbell over a barbell.
Why dumbbells? Because they can move freely and you can, your own unique kinesiology is not restricted?
Exactly. When I come up, you can see, you can't really see on the video too well.
Yeah, I can.
You bring my hand apart a little bit there.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. As I bring it up, I bring my hands apart a little bit in line with my nipple lines here. and that allows more natural flow for the shoulder, where your barbell is going to kind of give you a fixed position where you're a little bit more restricted. Some of the other exercises people talk about are dangerous, which when they're done in the gym, they are. But when done correctly, they can actually be quite helpful.
Okay, wait a minute. Is there a correct way to do a behind-the-neck press? Or is that just a stupid movement?
Yes, there is a correct way of doing it. That's the thing is, one, most people try to do it as a max lift. Don't want to do it as max lift. You're not trying to do singles on there, okay? Behind the neck press, first off, again, as I said, a lot of people are going to struggle with this. I had some clients back when I was in Los Angeles, we're trying to get them to do behind the neck press once we've fixed a lot of the postural issues, and they can barely do a 10-kilo bar, like a 20-pound bar, and these guys, I'm talking someone your size.
Right.
Can't do it. What I have them do is make sure they hold that position correctly with the posture, and I get them to bring the bar down just to the bar touches the head here, behind the top of the head, and then bring it back up again. So we work through that limited range to start with, and then over time we get it lower and lower until we get right down
so
to full
is this,
range.
So is this a result of scapular mobility when we talk, or is this also thoracic mobility? Because that's, you know, I have a side-to-side scoliosis, which may be why I have some shoulder problems, but if somebody doesn't have that, is this a function of scapula and thoracic range of motion that you can't get your arms back there behind your head?
Exactly. If you can't get your arm back there, that's what you need to work on first.
Right.
Don't try to do the behind-the-neck press when you don't have the mobility. That's what I'm saying. If you have the posture alignment, the chances are that you're going to have good mobility. So once you hit that point, you can do these exercises safely, but we're not trying to do max loading on them.
Right.
We still want to do pretty good loading eventually. I mean, I can do behind the neck press with maybe 200, maybe 185 or something like that pounds. But the when you're doing it for front, of course, you can do a lot more heavier loading. And the other exercises related to that one is the lat pull down from behind.
Yeah. I don't do those. Those wreak havoc for my shoulders, the lat pull down from behind. And I'm strong until I get to the back of my head, and then I have to kind of reposition my shoulders, and I have to squeeze my scapulas together in order to get it the rest of the way. And it's not a pleasant experience for me. And I think a lot of people would probably say, yeah, I have the same problem.
Yeah, that's a common problem because of that lack of mobility and flexibility and the range of motion that you need. So most people probably shouldn't do that until they've corrected that mobility. And again, behind the neck, lat pull down shouldn't be one of the exercises that you're doing very heavy loading with.
Right.
It's kind of in that moderate load, moderate repetition range type of thing. The other thing is positioning on the bar. If you're using a traditional lat pull down machine, often what you need to do is be spacing around the other way so you get that proper alignment of the cable coming down behind you in a straight line. So
because the cable really wants to be in front of you, so you're pulling it back this way, so you've got an inherent angle already, even if it's just a couple degrees in that cable.
Yeah, so you need to either turn around or move right forward, which is often the machines don't allow you to move that far forward.
Right.
So positioning that cable, so again, it's following that line that we're doing with the overhead press from behind as well. So that alignment is vital. Now, saying that, make sure people realize that you're only doing this is more of a exercise that you're using once you've corrected the underlying issues. It's not something, if you can do these, then you know your shoulders look pretty good.
So I remember when I visited you in LA, and you had me stand with my back against the wall, and you had me take my hands and put them up and put them back where my arms were against the wall as well, and you had me move them up and down and then rotate them forward. I've since stopped doing that, but I've lost a lot of the mobility in that range of motion. Would simply just starting to do that make a difference?
Yep, it would. When you're doing that one there, make sure, you know, if you remember, we had the lower back pressing against the wall as well.
Yeah.
The reason we're doing that is we're fixating your body against the wall, and then you kind of come up into external rotation of the shoulder until you get that flat without compensating. A lot of people are going to compensate in that lower back.
Yes, yes.
And that's
yes,
why
yes.
you get that remember I said about carryover the lower back issues. So when you're coming back through here, what's causing is that maybe the intestinal, the latissimus dorsi, there could be a lot of other compensation factors in your thoracic spine. Maybe the thoracic spine doesn't have that mobility into extension. But you want to work on getting the arms back into that, flat against the wall here, so your palms are flat against the wall. That not only working on mobility, but also working on strengthening, because remember how hard that was. And then once you get to the wall,
you have to really muscle your arms back into that position. It's not a matter of flexibility as much as it is a matter of muscles that have become imbalanced fighting against each other. That's really what it is.
And then once you get back there, you want to start only while you can get that the back of your palm against the wall.
Right.
Slowly move your arms up as far as you can, keeping that form, and eventually you'll get full range.
That's exciting.
So that's one of the mobility exercises.
I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about the some of the other dangerous exercises that people are doing. How's that sound?
Okay.
And then we've got a couple questions. We got a pretty lengthy question from Andrew Scarborough that I want to get answered. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
The number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820. 800-616-0820.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Soldier boy.
Welcome back. So I got to give a shout out to somebody. You can see I'm wearing my military garb. And my personal clothier is Dr. John Parker and the Kuwaiti Clothier Organization. No, I'm just joking. John is kind enough to send me a bunch of stuff from his deployment, and I wear it proudly on the show. Sinking our teeth into the Middle East. I love that. Gets a lot of weird looks when I wear it to the gym. But anyway, back to what we're talking about. So what are some of the other really dangerous exercises people should avoid before correcting postural or imbalance issues with the real problematic areas? What should they not engage in?
Well, I think it's not so much the dangerous exercises, it's more the way they're performed. You know, bench press, for example, doing bench press incorrectly, but even the simple thing like lifting your head up as you're trying to do bench press, a lot of people do it trying to look at themselves in the mirror or something like that. So you're lifting your head up as you're doing bench press is going to cause issues there. You know, all these exercises just in bad form are going to be the ones that you want to correct rather than, you know, kind of blaming a certain exercises. Yeah, some exercises are worse than others, like we were saying before, the upright row, which is obvious. But I don't think there's any per se bad exercises, the way they are performed more than anything else. Another one that people kind of, this is very hard, and that's the chin-ups or pull-ups from behind.
Yeah, forget that. I can't doing do that. I can do chin-ups and pull-ups in front, but my shoulder starts to pop in and out. But from behind, that would be, I would only do that if I was really mad at myself and I wanted to injure myself. That's the only time I would do that. You know?
Yeah, generally I do the, I didn't mention this before, but the lat pull down and the chin up, I generally do it with a very wide grip. So I go out very, very wide. So that kind of somewhat limits your range of motion anyway.
Yes, it does.
Because you're coming down so wide. So I like to do those wider and doing the chin up behind the neck with proper form, being hanging. Is extremely hard.
Yeah.
If you can do that, you know you've got good, healthy shoulders. Remembering not to drop the head forward. The biggest one I see is people dropping the head forward when they're doing
exercise. But so what am I supposed to do when I'm bench pressing? If I press my head and my back against the bench. This is something that I learned a long time ago. I imagine I'm not trying to move the weight, but I'm trying to push the bench down. That's what's going through my head when I'm bench pressing. And as a result of that, I flatten out my neck and I press my head against the bench. Is that just as much of a mistake as lifting your head up and looking over your chest?
No, that's probably more correct. I'd say if you can, place the tongue on the top of the roof of the mouth. So if you swallow right now, you can see where the tongue goes naturally on the top of the roof of the mouth. Hold that tongue position there as you're doing that. That will give you great activity of the stabilizer of the neck here as well. The other thing about bench press is the activation of the latissimus dorsi. So as you're coming down with the bar, you want to think you're bending the bar, trying to fire those latissimus dorsi, the lats, in that movement as you're coming down. So you're trying to bend the bar both this way and downward, so down towards your feet as well.
So what you're really doing is you're bringing your elbows in which is going to protect your shoulders more, too, and make you stronger, because now you're turning it into more of a dip-type movement than a press.
Almost, but you don't want it too far. And it depends on the type of lift you're doing. There's so many variations on the bench press. We can shift the bench press position, you know, all different elevations. Even benching to the neck is okay if you're doing it for the appropriate reason, for the appropriate weight. Now, in general, what you want to make sure is your hands are directly above the elbow. So wherever the elbow goes, the hands have to go too. So you don't want to be off balance this way. And as you bring it down, you want to make sure the lat stays fired up. So if you fire the lats up on the way down, that's going to assist the stability of the bar. Another thing, squeezing the bar. The more you squeeze, the more the stabilization in the shoulder.
Now, when you say squeeze, you mean grip. That's something I learned a long time ago. People who bench press with a loose grip are not activating all of the important muscles. And people will argue with me and say, what does the grip have to do with it? And I'll say it has a lot to do with it. So that's true then.
Yeah. Think about it this way. If you are holding something heavy, you're going to be holding heavy and you're going to squeeze it tight. They're telling the body that the shoulder has to stabilize at a greater extent. So the more you squeeze, the more activity occurs in the stabilizers of the shoulder. That's been proven in both lab and in the gym.
We have a question from John Peaks, who's listening live on Facebook right now. Any thoughts on kinesiology tape? Seems to be helping my shoulder during workouts. What do you think? Is that legit or is that more of a placebo, Pete?
Okay, to the extent that it's legit. Now, if you are in an acute state, it may be beneficial temporarily to make sure that you have proper alignment. But it's like using your orthotics in your shoes for correcting your flat feet. It actually creates imbalances again because you're not using the musculature to hold your body in the right posture. You're using the tape to hold the posture alignment. So those muscles that you actually want to be training can become weaker. Now, it may assist with correcting movement initially, but I'd be very careful about using it too much. Well, you see it in CrossFit all the time, not hitting on CrossFit, but you do see it a lot in CrossFit where the guys have just got color tape all over the whole body.
I always thought that was just like a way to let people know that you're serious about your training. I've never thought about using it, and I understand there's probably some benefit to it because there are certain pants. I like to wear tight-fitting kind of leotard-type pants to the gym, and I have a pair that's black, and the material is a bit more resistant than some of the other ones I have, and I like to wear those when I train legs because they really do help a little smidge, but I can tell that they take advantage of tissue leverage, and when I get down in the hole with a squat, I feel, and it's true, it's easier to come out of the hole than if I wear a pair of just baggy pants. With that being said, I've always thought that that's what that tape does, but I almost feel that people wear it because it's like, hey, look, I'm serious about my training. I'm using this here tape, and that's going to make me... Because I see people with their legs completely taped up, and these are not strong people at the gym.
Yeah, I think it's kind of become a more fashion trend than actually using it for the functional purpose. And I'd say you'd only want to really kind of use it at that very early stage of acute injury, maybe, if you need to work on that alignment. But the whole point of getting the alignment back is to strengthen those muscles to get that alignment back. And if you're using tape to support that, over-supporting it, then, you know, you're overdoing it. I have used the tape in the past. Very rarely, but I have used it.
Would you use the tape like acutely? Let's say you've been training all along. You show up at a meet. It's an Olympic lifting meet, and you feel a little tweaky, and you think, you know what? I'm going to just throw this tape on acutely, just to kind of even whether it's psychological or I actually change my proprioceptive positions. I'm going to use this tape today, but not necessarily train with the tape.
Well, that's actually probably worse because what you just said there, it changes the receptors on the skin, the proceptors on the skin.
Right.
They're going to be altered. You're going to alter some of the mechanics slightly. So, you know, you've got to be a little careful with just applying it randomly as well.
Interestingly enough, Jim McNulty is listening live. He says, the tape affects the fascia everywhere like fitting any form of crutch. It weakens the muscles. And that makes perfect sense because if you need that tape to do these movements,
The tape is assisting you in the lift. It's no different than you being at the top of a bench press and somebody giving you magic fingers and you lock it out. You didn't do that lift yourself. You just didn't. I like Jim's exactly. attitude about that.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that it's just, as I mentioned earlier, it's just like using orthotics with shoes for flat foot. You need to strengthen those muscles, not support them.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And if you have arches are falling, you need to run and walk in the sand, and you need to spend more time barefoot in terrain that forms to the foot and hits the arch. Because the reason we have fallen arches in society today is because we spend so much time on hard ground. We didn't evolve that way. The foot would be flat if it was designed to be on a flat surface. It's not, because it's designed to be in a surface that accommodates it and forms it, and it works through that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I've learned so much about the feet from you. I've learned it all from you about my feet, because I've had some problems with my crushed left foot. So.
And we did that show, and that's another thing with the shoulder too. If you have collapsed arches, it's going to cause internal rotation of the shoulder too. So you're going to see that kind of postural distortion of pattern occur.
Let's go ahead and just try to answer this question for Andrew Scarborough. It's a long question. I'm going to try my best to speed read it to get everything in. He says that he's been able to improve strength over time after suffering a couple of shoulder dislocations, like me. But there's still some weakness on that side, as well as a postural imbalance. I was prescribed a set of exercises from a physio using resistance bands, but found they actually aggravated and made things worse. So I adapted my approach by doing similar exercises in a hydrotherapy pool with much greater success. It is very difficult to get the form right with these resistance bands, and the intensity is not consistent. What do you think about that, doing it in a pool and having that hydro resistance?
Well, the resistance of the hydro is isokinetic as well, so that's going to be a little different. But you're only going to be doing explosive work in there, so it's not going to make that big a difference. But doing it in the pool is going to be good in some sense, because it's going to create more stabilization requirement in the shoulder. So if you're doing, for example, you're standing and doing the external rotation on the shoulder against the water, the resistance is going to be a little more consistent than it is with a band, where you've got that strength curve totally altered with the band.
Interesting.
Have them reach out to me anyway and drop me a line. I'll send them a couple of videos that go through the exercises for the control drills, because control drills will really help, along with, as I said before, about that dynamic stability in the shoulder, doing those exercises where you're actually improving that capsule stabilization rather than training the larger muscles. So, you know, if you're listening, reach out to me and drop me an email, and I'll send you those videos directly.
And to those of you who want to reach out to Peter Rouse, his website is integratedperformanceinstitute.com. And not only can you communicate with him there, but he's got a lot of videos that will probably answer some of the questions that you may contact him with. So check that website out. We're going to take our last quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the discussion. Stay tuned, Brett.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana banner ad today.
Alaskans agree that sockeye offers the truest salmon taste.
Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing, so our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Peter Rouse all the way from New Zealand. We're talking about shoulder problems. And interestingly enough, Jim McNulty also commented something that I'm a true believer in. And that is, he said, the fascia is all-knowing. It is a feeling sensory system. This is actually very, very true. In fact, we've done shows. A couple years ago, we did a show with Ken O'Neill and some other scientist. I can't think of his name. And we talked about how the fascia that encases our musculature is actually kind of like an information superhighway in our body. Think of it as the body's internet. It actually communicates information, and it goes beyond that. It's skin, too. I can tell you when I am going to hit a vein, when I give myself my HRT shot every week, because I've done it so much now that I know that if I touch that needle against the skin and it stings, if I continue on, I will absolutely hit a vein. If I move it a couple millimeters up, a couple millimeters down, the sting goes away. I go in no vein. So these are, and that's why I've always wondered about people who have major reconstructive surgery because they were overweight and they have skin cut away. They lose entire communication systems as a result of that. It's really amazing, really, really amazing. Pete, what have we failed to cover here that needs to be covered when we talk about rehab, prehab, and avoiding injury in general?
Because I'll give you the reference for the fascia we were talking about before, which is Anatomy Trains. That's a really good book, and there's actually a video series out there too on that. So, Thomas Myers. So if anybody wants more information on the fascia, kind of have a look at that. I think the biggest takeaway is looking at posture as your underlying cause of maybe what initiated the problem to start with. So working on mobility, working on that stability within the joint over trying to just lift big weights. Yeah, you can lift big weights, but make sure you have that proper mechanics there and set in place initially. So some people may need to back it off for a while, kind of eat the ego and take it back, work on these techniques and this form and work on the mobility of that thoracic spine, especially the thoracic spine rotation, and you'll probably find that a lot of the stuff will improve for people.
Overall, how are your shoulders? Do you practice what you preach, or do you injure your shoulders from time to time?
I had an acute injury many, many, many years ago. It doesn't bother me. I do all the proper warm-up. I do proper all the, you know, proper stuff that needs to be done. I keep and I maintain it. So I can do behind the neck press with fairly heavy loading. I can do wide grip lat chin-ups from behind as well. So the fact that I can do those without pain or discomfort or anything like that is an indication that my shoulder is doing pretty well.
So the bottom line is...
I've had occasional injury.
If you have an injury in your shoulder, it's not a life sentence. A lot, most of us act like, oh, that's it. My shoulders are shot. I'm always going to be this way. That's not true, is it?
No, absolutely not. One of the things we didn't cover, which is too complex to cover anyway, and that's the frozen shoulder issue. The people with frozen shoulder, you know, that is curable too. So just so people know that, you know, they just can find someone in their area that is curable, and you can speed up recovery. A lot of people recover from that over time, but it may take years without doing anything, but you can actually do things to speed it up. I think people within a month, under a month.
What causes that frozen shoulder? I've heard doctors tell their patients, oh, you've got a frozen shoulder. What causes that?
It's the same kind of category as a syndrome. It's really more of a series of symptoms rather than an exact cause underlying
there.
So it's often associated with, you know, inflammation in the joint capsule and everything else and around surrounding tissue. So that's usually what causes that irritation, and the joint capsule causes it to freeze up. But again, it's like one of those syndromes where they like to label it, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the underlying cause, the same thing every time.
Jim McNulty is active today listening to the show, and I'm happy about that. He said that Ida Rolf was the first person to realize. Is she the person who invented Rolfing, that very, very deep tissue approach to massage?
That's where Thomas Myers got the Anatomy Transformers from Ida.
Interesting. Now, we need to also plug something else. You just launched a new TV show in New Zealand, right?
Well, it's international, but it's nzfitness.tv, and we're just going around doing interviews. I'm doing one today, actually, an interview with different gyms. So we're actually going to locations, doing a bit of a tour of the gym, talking to the owners and the trainers about their philosophy and their business aspect too. So it's all free online there. So if anybody is interested in that, they can go check that out. The first episode has been uploaded later on today.
Very, very cool. Hey, thanks for being here so early, Pete.
This is okay. I'm up at 4:30 anyway, so it's actually good. 12 o'clock was pushing it a little bit.
I got to give you a plug about something. So I found Integrated Performance systems.com this morning, and it's got a list of your clients on there, and it kind of looks like Netflix, like you're shopping for a movie, because all of your clients are Hollywood movie stars. When you were in the United States, I mean, you served the Hollywood community, didn't you?
That was some percentage of it. I mean, we worked with everybody. I'm working with a Navy SEAL right now doing some work on that. Anybody and everybody, but, you know, I guess more well-known because of the actors and everything like that. So
they had to get it. Yeah, but I mean, it was so funny. It looked like, I was like, oh, is Peter selling videos on this? I thought they were like, and I realized these are your clients. It was all like the covers of movies. You know what I mean? It was like, oh my God. Oh, because we met, when Elisa and I came to California to visit you, we met one of her favorite movie stars. What's his name? The guy with the blonde hair that he was...
Ryan Gosling.
Yes, we hung out. I mean, he was the nicest guy. He was the nicest. Yeah, nicest guy. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen.
They're really nice people.
They are, I know. Good luck with the new TV venture. And if you have questions for Peter, email them to onair@superhumanradio.com, and we'll follow up this interview with one that where we can answer more questions. How's that sound, Pete?
That sounds excellent.
Okay, so that's it. That's the end of today's show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And we'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.